So Gay Hendricks speaks about that self-responsibility that Dr. Colwell talks about, yet in a different way. And he calls it co-commitment. And that's where we know and profess that we are the cause of what happens to us, and we take 100% responsibility for our own lives and our own emotions and the results we create. Welcome. I'm Dawn Mathis, and this is To Your Greatness. Every day, you give so much of yourself to those you love. Through this podcast, I'll guide you on a journey to reawaken the greatness that lies within you. In each episode, you'll hear incredible stories of transformation from me and my guests that will inspire you to design and manifest a life that is in harmony with your soul's purpose. You are meant to live the life you'd love. Let me show you how. Welcome. This is To Your Greatness, and I'm your host, Dawn Mathis, with In-Situ LifeWorks. Today's podcast is called Relationships from Survive to Thrive. As I've asked you before on one of the most recent podcasts on relationships, does your mess ever become your message? You can learn from your mess, and you can find the message in that mess. So here I go again. And hopefully I'm not the only one out there, or maybe I hope I am the only one out there. But do you ever feel like your relationship with your partner is maybe a little stagnant, lacking a little pizzazz or a little something, and you're kicking yourself trying to come up with some ideas to maybe bring that spark back? Do you ever feel like it's on autopilot? Life support? When I look back over the years at my most significant challenging relationships and how they ended, I began to ask myself, well, apparently I'm the common denominator here. What's wrong with me? Nothing that a little awareness and some tools can't change. And the same is for you. So can you relate to what I was just talking about? You know, people in my own circles talk about relationship struggles and conflict, or they don't. But we all, in varying degrees, experience it or avoid it at all costs. When you hear stories about couples who've been married for years or decades and they still hold hands and laugh and smile at each other, they're still deeply in love, don't you want to know their secret? Bottle it up and drink it for breakfast every day? Yeah. You know, I think longevity and bliss in our most intimate relationships happens in different ways for different people. And some have stumbled on what works by accident. And when you ask them for the secret sauce, they may shrug their shoulders and say things like, listen, give, compromise, never go to bed angry. And you and I think we're doing all those things, or a lot of those things, most of the time. And yet we still might feel that we're in survive mode, not thrive mode. So maybe we need to stop and go deeper, dedicate some time to read. Recently, my partner was out of state for 6 days. And here in Colorado, we were bracing for a huge, huge snowstorm. So I decided this was a good time for me to go deeper. And so I pulled out some books and some notes. You know the place, this shelf where stuff goes to die and collects dust. And you tell yourself, someday I'll read that again. and really look at my notes. I also went to the bookstore. There's just something about the feel of a book. I love the feel of a book in my hands. And so I purchased a book by John Gottman to round out my collection. He'd been quoted by the other relationship experts that I've mentioned. And so I wanted one of his works. And what I decided to do was this. While the storm raged, I would pull some golden nuggets out of those books for myself. And of course for you, for this podcast, just a taste. So we could all decide for ourselves which direction you and I would choose to take our own journey in building a thriving relationship. So in this podcast, I will pull from three books and mention a fourth as a juicy invitation. So here's the thing. If you're not feeling it with your closest relationships, feeling fundamentally flawed is not the road to take or the assumption to make about yourself. Instead, let's you and I ask an empowering question, because we know this. The quality of our questions determines the quality of our lives. So here's what I came up with. So you can ask yourself, along with me, what can I do to manifest healthier experiences, people, and behaviors, myself included? And what strategies can I implement to create a relationship that thrives? As I mentioned, I'm going to pull from three books and talk about them with you today, and invite you to read the fourth juicy one that I'm saving for my own date nights. So the first one, it's called Relationship Skills Workbook, the Relationship Skills Workbook. And it's by Dr. Julia B. Colwell, right here in Boulder. And her premise in her opening chapters is this. We get into arguments with our partners because we make arguable statements. We make arguable statements. So what she says, it's simple. You make unarguable statements, and there you go. Well, what the heck are those, you ask? Yeah, me too. When I heard that, I was like, what the, you know. Anyway, well, here are the kitchen-tested ingredients that she has used over the years with her clients and with her own partner. And it's the recipe for unarguable statements. And it's an acronym. So, S-E-W. And it stands for sensations, emotions, and wants. So S, sensations. Our first step to become in tune with our physical body during a conflict is very important. What are the sensations your body is feeling? Tight jaw, stomach ache, sore throat? Those sensations are messages from ourself to our awareness. So notice what you're noticing. It's kind of like ding, 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 a little soft bell, a soft signal. And it's telling you, pay attention. So get in tune with those bodily sensations. E, emotions. Our bodies will tell us what it is feeling by emotions. And Dr. Colwell goes on to say, we are always the source of what we are feeling. Our emotions give us usable information. So there's five primary emotions. She encourages us to just use the five primary emotions, kind of like in school when we learned the primary colors. These are the colors that you can't make by mixing any other colors together. They're called the primary colors. So same with these emotions. Use these five and not others, because the others are mixes of emotions and perceptions and ideals and past experiences. So we want to boil it down to those primary emotions. And here they are: mad, sad, glad, scared, and sexual. Okay, mad, sad, glad, scared, and sexual. Pretty easy to remember. The first three rhyme, the last two begin with S. Okay, so W, wants. What do you want? When we are really in tune with our sensations and with our emotions, if we pay attention to those things, we can get to what we want. What happens with us many times is our brain gets in the way and we stumble over what we think we should want or what someone else tells us we should want. So just keep it simple. So I want to give you an example now that comes out of Julia Colwell's book about using arguable and inarguable statements. So here it is. You are the passenger and your partner is driving the car way too fast for your comfort level. So here's the arguable statement. You say, "You're driving way too fast. Slow down." And even if your partner does slow down, you know what happens. There still could be an argument or angst or muttering under the breath or all three. Here's the unarguable statement. You say, "I feel tight all over. I'm clutching my seat and I'm having images of a big accident. I feel scared. I want to feel safe. My request is that you slow down." Whew. Sounds cumbersome. And you might feel like you can't get all that out of your mouth before your partner hits the guardrail, but it is unarguable. And it gets easier and smoother with practice. All right. So let's delve into a little bit of Gay and Kathleen Hendricks' book called Conscious Loving, The Journey to Co-Commitment. Remember that we show our partners that we love them by being willing to make and keep agreements. So Gay Hendricks speaks about that self-responsibility that Dr. Colwell talks about, yet in a different way. And he calls it co-commitment. And that's where we know and profess that we are the cause of what happens to us, and we take 100% responsibility for our own lives and our own emotions and the results we create. This word, co-commitment, also means that we allow the relationship to be a catalyst for both partners to express their own potential and their own creativity. So there is a list of six essential promises to having a thriving, healthy relationship. See if any of these resonate with you. Number one, I commit to being close and clearing up anything that prevents me from being close. Good one. I commit to being responsible for my own complete development as an individual. You know, on the last podcast, we talked about that our self-image is an inside-out job. This would be one of those things. We're taking responsibility. It's our job to feel good about ourselves, not to have someone else make us feel good about ourselves. Number three, I will reveal my full self, being transparent about my needs and my feelings. Number four, I will fully empower myself and others. Number five, I will act from the awareness that I am 100% the source of my reality. Gay Hendricks goes on to say that victimhood is not possible if we're taking 100% responsibility for what happens to us. Interesting. And remember, arguments are a race to victimhood, and nobody wins. Number six, I will have a good time in my close relationships. Yes. So if any of this resonates with you, this book is for you. And it will help you to get to those places you aspire to be in your relationship. Lots of techniques, strategies, and tools in that book. So we've talked about making unarguable statements to express our wants and be more understood. We have committed to being 100% self-responsible and 100% in our relationships so that they thrive. To round this out, let's talk about how we can give our partner what they want and also share with them what we want. That comes from a book called The Five Love Languages by Gary Chapman. And it's a great book. My partner and I, when we first got together, completed the personal profile, and I had taken notes. This was years ago. And you know what? I will admit, I have not looked at it in years. Eesh. I am being brutally honest when I tell you I read the book. I took some awesome notes, which I'll share with you in a moment, then put it away. So well hidden that when I did find it, it was like geocaching or discovering a time capsule. There at the top of the page of my notes were my own love languages and my partner's. Wow. I can tell you that for the most part, we have missed the mark. Because we were projecting our own love languages onto our partner. And then we wondered why we felt a bit off the mark. It's a little bit like the girl who wanted a G.I. Joe for Christmas, me. And instead, because my mom loved Barbie dolls, I got a Barbie doll for Christmas. It makes me cringe. It's no wonder we had a struggle. So here are the five love languages. The first one is words of affirmation. Just two quick things to say about this. Dr. Colwell, who we talked about earlier, says this, that giving positive attention powerfully transforms our behavior and the behavior of those around us, partners, pets, kids. We can learn to rewire our brains. We talked about this before. We can learn to rewire our brains from the primitive survival mode of looking for what's wrong to focusing on what we would love and what we do love about our partners and what we appreciate. John Gottman, another relationship expert, an author, found that in relationships that last, partners offer their significant other five affirmations or appreciations for every one criticism. While in relationships that thrive, the ratio is 20 to 1. Whew, we better get busy, start paying attention to the good stuff, right? Okay. The second love language, quality time, being fully present is key. Number three, receiving gifts. Don't forget the G.I. Joe story. Give your partner what they want, not what you want. acts of service. Have fun figuring that out. That's a lot of fun. And number five is physical touch. So the great thing about this book is it tells you, you pick your top three, and your partner picks their top three. So you don't have to pick one. And it's not that all of them are not important at some point, but your top three just rounds you out and gives your partner different things to pick and choose from. The other great thing about this book is that once you figure out what those love languages are, the book gives you some ideas for how you can do things that fit into those love languages for your partner. So here are my notes from years ago. I want to share them with you as we draw this in for a landing. We all have an emotional love tank that we strive to have filled by our loved ones. The empty tank is usually the cause of misbehavior, withdrawal, harsh words, or a critical spirit. Here's another good one. Our most basic emotional need is not to fall in love, but to genuinely be loved and to love another. To know that love grows by choice. The satisfaction of having genuinely loved another does not require the euphoria of being in love, that in love experience. True love can't really begin until the in love experience has run its course. Love makes requests, not demands. Live today free of yesterday's failures and mistakes, yours and theirs. Okay. Now, our last book in this podcast, the juicy one I mentioned earlier, is a book by John Gottman, who we mentioned earlier in the podcast. And this book is perfect for the newly dating to the been there, done that of couples who have been together for some time, even years. The title of the book is Eight Dates. Eight Dates. And all I'm going to say is this. It is a perfect book for the pandemic. And it covers topics such as fun, trust, money, sex, etc. There are different topics to discuss. Eight, actually, hence the title. One for each date night with your loved one. I would love to hear some feedback about this book for those of you who choose to read it and to do the exercises. So we've covered a lot, and this is the third podcast on relationships. And what I would invite you to do is just go deeper into one or more of these books to do the exercises and then come together and talk about the exercises together. This is an act of love and a show of commitment to your partner. What's not to love about that? This has been To Your Greatness. I'm Dawn Mathis. We'll see you next time. Thank you for joining me on To Your Greatness. If you're inspired by what you heard and are ready to take a deeper dive into your own life's purpose, I'd love to offer you a complimentary life reflection session. In this session, I'll help you get clearer about what's been holding you back and how you can rediscover the greatness that lies within you. If this is something you would love, I invite you to head to my website, toyourgreatness.net, where you can take the first step in this journey. Spots are limited, so claim yours today. You are so much more than what you do for others. I believe there is a dream inside you just waiting to be fulfilled. If you agree, I invite you to take that first step and visit www.toyourgreatness.net. toyourgreatness.net right now. I can't wait to meet with you. My name is Dawn Mathis, and this is To Your Greatness. Remember, your greatness lies within you. See you next time. And if you enjoyed today's episode, I invite you to subscribe and keep listening. Remember to like, share, and review this podcast to help other listeners like you find their way to this heart-centered community. Thank you so much.